Welcome to Slowpreneur, a podcast about building a business without the busy. I'm your host, Stephanie Pellet, and I'm a coach for thoughtful, values-based entrepreneurs just like you. On this show, we talk about creating a business with intention, heart, and sustainability in mind. Join me as I connect with my friends and clients and share my own reflections on why slow and steady entrepreneurship will always win the race. On today's episode, we are back for season 3 of the podcast, and I'm celebrating by sharing 7 ways to be a slowpreneur. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Slowpreneur. I have missed you. Thank you so much for tuning in for season 3. Can you believe it? We are back with season 3 of the podcast. It is so fun and rewarding to look back at the archive and see how many amazing episodes there are in there, including some really incredible interviews. So if you're just finding the show now, I highly recommend that you scroll back through and see if any titles or topics jump out at you. There are some really fun ones that we've recorded now over the years that we have been doing this podcast, which is so cool to say, so cool to realize. So I'm personally very much celebrating being back for a third season. I really needed a break, as is the point, right, of putting in breaks in anything we do. We're going to talk about some of that today. But I think it's personally very important to have breaks and have them scheduled in, because you can't do everything forever. And I definitely can't do the podcast forever without a break. And I had one. I feel good. And I'm coming back to the show with fresh energy. So thanks for tuning in again. If you've been a fan of the show for a long time, I really, really appreciate you being here. It is not easy to be an entrepreneur. It is not easy to be a slowpreneur. And it is not easy to continue to show up for yourself and your business. Period. Actually, that's the end of the sentence. It is not easy to show up for yourself and your business, because it is hard to stay motivated. It is hard to stay positive. And the economy is changing, business is changing, people's attention spans are changing, and that just creates a landscape where it's, I think, harder than ever to be successfully an entrepreneur online. And I'm feeling it. I know a lot of the people I know are feeling it. So I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you being here and sharing some of your time with me. So thank you. And in return, what I'm hoping to do today is share 7 ways to be a slowpreneur. So obviously we have many episodes now on slowpreneurship. We have tackled it from a lot of different angles. And the first episode of season 2 was actually an episode entitled How to Be a Slowpreneur. So, you know, we've tackled and talked about this topic before, but what I wanted to do today is just kind of give us a recap and do 7 different ways that that can actually play out. On the episode from season 2, the first episode back, I shared sort of my framework for slowpreneurship, which is strategy, systems, and self-care. I still stand by that. I still think it's a really positive and strong way to get into slowpreneurship. But this one is going to be a little different in that I'm hoping it'll be a little bit more practical, tactical. I almost was joking with myself of whether I should call this episode something like 7 hacks for being more of a slowpreneur. But you know that hacks and slowpreneurship don't necessarily go hand in hand. But these are kind of hacks. They're sort of mindset shifts that are important to take on if you are accepting slowpreneurship. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you might want to go all the way back to the very first episode of this podcast ever, which was called Welcome to Slowpreneur, where I kind of introduce my overall framework and ideas for what slowpreneurship means to me. So yeah, today we're going to do these 7 ways to be a slowpreneur, 7 ways that you can think about business and life a little bit differently to incorporate more intentionality, more sustainability, more genuine enjoyment in the way that you run your business. And these are all things that I try to incorporate into my business all the time. Obviously, they're not things that we can always remember to do. Sometimes we're catching ourselves falling out of these habits, but that doesn't change the fact that they are still sort of my guiding North Star for how I run my business. So let's get into it, shall we? Here are my 7 ways to be a slowpreneur. Number 1 is to beware of default settings. And when I say settings, I mean this both literally and metaphorically. Default settings are everywhere in terms of the expectations that we have of ourselves, of what is the appropriate or best way to do something. They're also very much present in all the apps and tools we use. There will be default settings that are suggested to you. And then, of course, they are present in the default kind of expectations that clients or customers may have of you and your business. And so the point here is not to make default settings bad. You know, there are certain situations where that setting might actually really work for you, that expectation might work for you, or that way of thinking about your work might be the right one for you. But the key, I think, for me has been to learn to question all of these defaults, to really absorb and understand fully that there is no one right way to do anything for business, for life, for anything. And I am a questioner in the Gretchen Rubin framework of the four tendencies. So this does come more easily to me than other people. And I also think in my role as a coach, when I'm working with people one-on-one, it's often easier for me to see from the outside what kinds of default expectations my clients are putting on themselves that maybe don't need to be there. And so it's easier for me to question, like, why did you decide to do it that way? Or what makes you think you have to work in this exact way? It's easier for me to see than it is for them to see. And that's true, obviously, for me as well. You know, we all have our areas that we can't fully see clearly what's happening. And sometimes you do need another person to be able to point them out to you. However, I think we can all develop a better habit of resisting default settings as much as we possibly can. Now, part of the reason that I think that this is so important is that a lot of default settings are based on structures and systems that we may not want to replicate. So let me illustrate this to you with an example. When you think of like a typical scheduler tool that you might set up in your business to be the way that clients schedule a call with you, when you open up that tool, the default settings are always, in my experience, I could be wrong, there could be a progressive one out there that I haven't encountered, but almost always they're going to be set up to have your call availability be from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Why? Because this is the default expectation for corporate setups, right? These are sort of the working hours that are expected for all good ideal workers, is to be available 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And even if you actually want to keep your working hours very close to what is considered a typical work week for most workers, you absolutely can do that. Like, no shame on that at all. I actually personally like to keep relatively that kind of structure to my business so that I can have mostly the same weekends as my friends and family, even though I could technically have a weekend any day of the week if I really wanted to. The point is that we don't necessarily want to just click accept on those default settings, because that might not actually be the availability that you have emotionally for scheduling calls. For me, I personally don't ever schedule any calls on Mondays. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I don't do Mondays, and I usually don't do Fridays either, because I really like the ability to enter my week in a way that feels calm. There's no expectations on me, and I can just sort of ease in. Now, not everybody has this kind of freedom. I understand that. This is just one example to illustrate why I think defaults don't work for everyone. Because if we go into that scheduler tool and we just click accept and we're just like, cool, we'll just have it all be available, then very quickly we are going to be falling out of alignment with what might actually work better for us, both in terms of our focus, right? The kind of attention or the quality of attention we might be able to give to a call could be different throughout the day. And this applies so broadly to almost everything that we're doing in business. Naturally, people are going to be expecting sort of like an immediate response, right? I think people have gotten better at this over the years and maybe aren't expecting that as clearly, but clients may come in with a certain kind of expectation of how much they'll hear from you or how quickly they can expect to hear back from you. And so it is important to not just fall into what is the default expectation here and what do I want to go along with, instead of putting your stake in the ground, putting your line in the sand and saying, here's what I offer, here are the expectations for how often you can hear back from me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the point here is literally just question everything. The questioner is telling you to question everything. But really, I think that oftentimes the default settings are not what's actually going to work best for us. And to the extent that you have control over your schedule, which many of us are starting to have more and more of, even if you're not a traditional entrepreneur, we want to be able to switch it up and not fall into the default expectations because they probably weren't created with us and our specific needs in mind. The second way to be more of a slowpreneur is to customize everything as much as you can. And I really do mean everything and as much as you can. I mean it all. I think that part of the power and the beauty and the joy of having a little bit more control over your schedule as a business owner is that you can set everything up to work for you. So similar to number one, where we're questioning the default settings and we're changing them up, this is just taking that one step further. How can you pick a schedule that aligns with your own rhythms? How can you pick the tools that really work best for the way that your brain works? And that could be aesthetically, it could be functionally, or it could be both. How do you pick the days of the week that you are going to be more on, more creative, more alive? How do you choose what you want to offer in terms of benefits? How do you choose your marketing and your colors in things that will look and feel good to you? Like, customizing everything is not just this fanciful, lovely, fun, silly, superficial idea. I think it's also a way to stay motivated and stay positive in your business. It's so important to be able to have things that make you feel connected to yourself and connected to your business. And so trusting other people to just tell you what they think isn't always going to actually be the thing that works. Of course, sometimes we want to get an expert's opinion, but we don't want to just go with that blindly. We also want to make sure that we're customizing things according to what we love, what we like, what we care about. So if this website designer is telling you that WordPress is the most robust place to build your website and you are like, okay, I believe you. And also, I know that I am not going to be able to update a single thing for the rest of my living life, because I don't understand how WordPress works, then maybe that's not going to be the right thing for you. You have to choose based on who you are. And what this means is that there's no easy answers, right? There's no easy, simple answers. There are only answers that are right for you. And this is why we often turn outwards. Why did I say it like that? This is why we often turn outwards. It's because we want there to be an easy answer. We want to just follow someone else's blueprint. But we can't. We got to customize everything for ourselves. By the way, I personally do use WordPress. And the reason I do is because that's where I started. And over the years, I just haven't had the interest in pivoting. So it's not necessarily that I even have anything against WordPress. That's my whole point. It might be right for some people, and it just is really not going to be right for others. So this is just your blanket warning and your reminder that the only thing that is going to work for you is what's going to work for you. People often ask me, right, like, what's the best tool for managing my workload, my best to-do list app or project management app? And I always say the one that is going to work for you, the one that you are actually going to use. And that could, again, be because you really like the way it looks, or you really like the satisfying click that it gives when you check something off, or, you know, you're using Asana and every time you complete a certain number of tasks, there's a flying narwhal that goes across your screen. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to work for you. And that's partially why whenever I help people choose anything or set something up, we always have a period of time where we're going through all the options and figuring out what really matters to them before we make the decision. Because you could pick something that is beautiful, wonderful, amazing, highly recommended. But if you haven't taken the time to stop and figure out whether it's actually going to fit in your own workflow or in the way that you think about things or the way that your particular brain likes to do things, it's probably not going to work for you long term. And so taking that step to check in with yourself and check in with your values and your needs is so important. And this goes for everything in business. We really need to get in the habit of customizing everything. If you like a certain color, get all your work stuff in that color. If you like to use a lot of emojis, guilty as charged, yours truly, then use a lot of emojis. If you need to listen to only classical music when you're working, then do that. We're customizing as much as we can, as much as we have the power to customize, because we don't need to fit into any other box. And I think that choosing to have this philosophy of customizing everything also has the secondary benefit of just giving you more confidence. When you are able to make small decisions that are right for you, and you are able to really listen to what you need and want and take those steps to give yourself what you really need and want, it helps you be more of a steward of your business. It helps you actually take the right steps for you with confidence on things that really matter more. You know, maybe it doesn't matter that much that your adult sippy cup is lavender. Again, guilty as charged. But maybe picking that one that is right for you and gives you that joy every time you see it is going to give you that little extra boost of understanding, I do have agency. I do have the ability to choose something that's right for me. This is such a silly little example, right? We get it. Adult sippy cups are now all the rage and everyone has one. And, you know, this is not the most poignant of examples, but I really do believe that even those really small decisions can remind you that you are in the driver's seat of your life. You are in the driver's seat of your business. You are a CEO. Even if you're a CEO of a company of one, you are. And making the choice that's going to be right for you is going to have this wonderful trickle-down effect into all of the decisions that you make in your business and beyond. So I personally think that choosing to customize everything as much as you possibly can is actually an investment that you're making in yourself and in your business. It's not just silly. It's not frivolous. It's really important. And it helps you to customize the things that really matter as well, including your boundaries, including your policies, your systems, everything like that. Choosing to customize it to what is going to work the best for you is how you get that sense of power and agency in the way you run your business. This episode of Slowpreneur is brought to you by The Profoundry. If you are a thoughtful, intentional, values-based entrepreneur who is looking for more community, more accountability, and more inspiration in how you run your business, this might be the right place for you. We run all kinds of different calls to help members connect with each other and themselves to help you get more of your best work done every single day. We do this through our productivity parties, which are work sprints to help you stay focused and get things done. We have workshops every month on things like prepping for your taxes, how to write a good contract, setting better boundaries with your clients, or how to start a podcast. And all of our previous recordings are available in the Profoundry library for you to go back and learn from for as long as you like. We also have group coaching through our creative think tanks where you can both give and receive inspiration and wisdom from your fellow Profoundry members. And my favorite kind of call is our reflect and reset sessions, which happen once a month to help you reflect on the previous month, take what you can in terms of learnings and apply them to your goals for the month to come. They are such powerful sessions, super simple, but a really great way to continue to learn and develop as you build your business. If you're interested to learn more about our community and get a sense for the atmosphere inside, you are very welcome to join us for an upcoming productivity party. Just head to stephaniepellet.com/partypass and you'll be able to choose a time that works for you to come and check out the community. We would absolutely love to see you there. Number three is to prioritize humanity. And when I say this, I'm talking both about your own humanity as a business owner and also that of your clients and your customers. This is kind of like number one because the default expectation under capitalism is to not prioritize people's humanity, to not take into account individual stories, individual needs, and really just set these blanket statement policies across all situations and across all people who are interacting with you. And you can go back to the last episode of season two, which is about how to set gentler boundaries, to learn a little bit more about that, what I call level two of boundary setting, which does take into account people's humanity and greater context and making choices that are going to prioritize the long game instead of just the short-term benefits that you might gain. But what I mean here when I say prioritize humanity is to really make sure that you are recognizing that you are a human first, business owner second, in everything you do. You've probably heard me say this before, and I know it's not that easy to do, especially if you're in a busier season, especially if you feel like you have a lot of expectations on you. It can be really difficult to set up those non-negotiables for yourself of whatever they might be, right? Always eating breakfast, trying to get in some movement every day, prioritizing spending time with your friends and family instead of just working yourself into the ground. I don't know what it is, right? We all have different ones. But really prioritizing humanity, prioritizing who you are and what you need as a human above the short-term goals that you might have for your business. And this is a moving target, right? We're all dealing with this. I feel like today is a great example. I'm currently sitting on a chair, and I've been sitting on a chair for most of the day. And I have been really trying lately to get in my 10,000 steps every day. It's not that easy when you're working from home. I don't have a walking pad yet. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, I will have finally bit the bullet and gotten one. But the point is, I know that I could be doing better at standing up throughout the day and walking, doing a lap around the house or doing some movement, stretching, etc. I'm never going to get this right 100% of the time. But the point is that I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to have the expectation on myself that I will move, that I will take care of my body, that I will close down my computer at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. or whatever it is, and I won't work on the weekends. Like, some of these habits are so much easier for me now after years of being self-employed. It's actually not as hard for me to not open my computer on the weekends, but it used to be really hard for me. And it used to be a habit that I really had to work at. And so what I can tell you about this mindset shift of starting to prioritize your humanity is that it has a lot of benefits that you start to crave, right? The more that you can take care of yourself, the more that you can implement things that feel really good to you, you're going to want to perpetuate that positive cycle. You're going to want to give yourself those things, and it won't be as hard over time to shut the computer, to walk away, to have a weekend, because you'll be in the habit of it. But again, going back to these default expectations, some of the default expectations are that we're going to need to work all the time when we're entrepreneurs, right? Going out on your own kind of means that you're taking on a 24/7 instead of a 9-to-5. These are sort of the things that we're told. And especially when your business is responsible for your livelihood, it can be really difficult to walk away when you know that your time is money and you know that the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. But it also won't last as long. It also won't be as sustainable if you're doing that and burning the candle at both ends all the time. There will come a point where your body shuts down and suddenly you're sick for a few weeks or, God forbid something worse happens. And so recognizing that that's not going to be a long-term sustainable strategy, and what's really going to be important is prioritizing those non-negotiables, whatever you decide them to be, finding a way to motivate yourself to do them, whether you need more accountability, whether you need an amazing app that's going to help you stay on task. Mine is Daystamp. I'm sure I've talked about it before here, but I'm obsessed with it. I'll put it in the show notes. Whatever it is, prioritizing your humanity is so important and such a crucial strategy for being a slowpreneur and staying in the game for as long as you can. Similarly, prioritizing the humanity of your clients, of your customers, trying to put in place policies that recognize that shit happens. People don't always mean to screw you over. There are times where they're not going to be able to follow through on something that they said. And can you have policies that are slightly gentler than something that feels very aggressive to receive or feels very punitive? I see that happening lots and lots, which I get it. We want to protect ourselves. But as I've talked about, there is this pendulum swing where we almost can go too far into the self-protectiveness that it becomes quite off-putting to interact with that business. And so finding a happy medium somewhere in the middle, just think about how you would like to be interacted with, how you would like to feel. Is there going to be any leniency? Is there going to be any sort of flexibility or alternate options? Are there other ways for people to work with you, interact with you, etc.? The point is prioritizing humanity as much as possible. The fourth way to be a slowpreneur is to resist urgency. We're not all that good at this. I find that sometimes the urgency that we're responding to the most is our own. We have this potentially unrealistic expectation that things should not take as long as they inevitably always take, and that we're going to be able to launch and sell and promote and do all on this very, very short timeline. We sort of just like pick a date out of a hat. We sort of just think, oh, okay, well, I think that this is going to take me 3 weeks to do. But we don't take into account the fact that nothing really ever goes as planned, and things come up and things happen. And when you're prioritizing your humanity, things are just going to take longer. That's a spoiler alert for number 5 that I will get to in a moment. But the point here is to just resist urgency as much as you can. And this is not easy, especially if you feel like someone else is urgently expecting something from you, whether that's a reply or literally anything else. It can be so difficult, if not impossible, to just take a little longer to think about something before you respond. But I do think that this is a habit we have to develop and strengthen in ourselves, to practice and normalize taking longer to respond to things, taking longer to think about things, not having to give an answer right away, even if the opportunity feels really exciting, to just take a beat, remember that it's not as urgent as it feels, and take your time with how you want to respond. The same is true if a client or a customer is expecting something from you. Let's say they want an edit or they want something to change, something to happen for them. That's totally fine and fair and their prerogative. And, you know, they may have an actual point and maybe you do want to make those edits and you do agree with the things that they're saying. Does that mean that you have to open your laptop at 8 p.m. when you're in the middle of having dinner with your partner and immediately apply those changes the way that I used to do? No, it does not. It does not. So it's really hard because urgency is like such a core part of the way that our world works, and we feel like there are those expectations on us. It feels like the world is getting faster and faster and more urgent. And it can be really difficult to like dig in your heels a little bit and push back a little bit and just normalize that things may take a little longer, especially if you're just one person, especially if you're just a very, very small team. You might not be able to get to everything in the time that you think that others are expecting of you, or again, going back to these default expectations that you might be expecting of yourself. You might have this ideal version of yourself in mind that always responds to inquiries within a day or 2 days, but is that actually realistic given all the other goals you might have for yourself in your life? Is it really realistic given what you have on this week, what you have scheduled? Are you going to be out of the office for a couple days? Do you have huge projects that are coming due? Maybe the reality of the way your life is right now, you won't be able to answer that as quickly as you think you ideally should. But it's okay. It's okay if you make it okay. It's okay if you decide that it's okay. It's okay if you bring that kind of energy into your interactions with people, that sense of trust, that sense of knowing, that sense of abundance, that even if things take a little bit longer, it's going to be okay. You're still going to deliver. You're still going to have the abundance of many opportunities, people who will understand, clients who resonate and get what you're about, and who will not drop you like a hot potato just because you took an extra business day to respond to them. There is some trust in that. It's not that easy. But really leading your business from this place of prioritizing your humanity means that by default, you are going to have to resist urgency. And it helps to be transparent about that with people, whether explicitly in the messaging that you are putting out there or the emails that you're sending, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or just implicitly by taking that little bit of extra time to respond and trusting that that's going to be okay. This one is hard. This one is hard. Not as hard as the next one. I'll warn you, but it is hard. It is hard to feel like there's something pressing on me. I feel this sense of urgency. I feel like I should do something about it. And I have to just sort of sit with that and recognize that if I do that for the rest of my life, I am always going to be in this stimulus response cycle. We talk a lot about in the stimulus response cycle that part of why we do things like mindfulness and meditation is just lengthening the gap between the stimulus and the response, just giving yourself slightly more time to really figure out how you think, what you feel before you respond, not just having this default cycle of how you respond and how quickly you respond, but lengthening that gap, giving yourself more of an option, giving yourself more time to really figure out how you want to respond, if at all. So difficult one to cultivate. It will take time, just like the last one took time and will take time. But I think it's one of the most important ones. I mean, it's not called slowpreneurship for nothing. We do have to reduce that urgency as much as we can. Okay, so related to that, we have number 5, which is to expect delays. This is similar, not exactly the same, but it is similar. Essentially, you are expecting things to take longer than you think. I've heard some estimates that say to double your best guess. I think that sometimes we actually might need to triple our best guess, which we don't want to do because it feels inconvenient. It's annoying. We don't want to believe that things are going to take as long as they always do. But then what ends up happening is because we thought it was going to take no time at all, it was going to take just a week. I'm just going to sit down and do it. It'll just take me a week. And it doesn't take a week. Then we feel really bad about ourselves. Then we lose some of that really important motivation that I was talking about earlier. We start to feel like we're behind, even though our expectation was, again, maybe pulled out of a hat, maybe not actually based on reality or based on our real week and our schedule. Maybe we just decided that that was the timeline, basically on the basis of nothing. But now, because we decided that was our timeline, we suddenly feel like a failure because we didn't meet the arbitrary timeline. When I say it like this, you can see how absurd it is, but I promise you, you are doing it in your own business. I am doing it in my own business all the time. It's essentially the equivalent of setting ourselves up for failure because we're not taking into account enough of our humanity. We've talked about that already. We're not taking into account enough of the fact that there will just always be delays. The delays could be because we're prioritizing ourselves, or they could be for any number of other reasons. Typically, it's just because we actually maybe have never done something before. And so if you have never done something before, you don't know how long it can be expected to take. You don't have that data or that information. And that information is not really out there. You know, especially if we're talking about something like, I don't know, let's use course creation as an example. If you have this idea that you want to create an online course and you want to do a certain number of video modules, you are just making a stab in the dark at how long you think that's going to take you to write the scripts and then set up the camera and then do all of the videos and then edit the videos. You can just make your best assessment, but you don't actually know, right? And especially you don't know if it's going to take longer because one day you just feel sick as a dog and you can't possibly sit in front of a camera, or one day your literal dog is sick and you have to take them to the vet. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And so part of being a slowpreneur is training yourself to give yourself more buffer, to build in more blank space around how long you think things will take you to do. The more you can do this, the more sustainable your schedules are going to be, the more realistic your expectations are going to be on yourself, and the more you are going to be encouraged instead of discouraged by how much you can get done, because your estimates are actually going to be based on a real thing. They're going to be based on real life instead of just this ideal version of your life. So I think it's really important to just bake in delays, bake in buffer, give yourself that extra time so that you're not as disappointed. Like literally, what's the worst that's going to happen, right? Like if you have a workshop you want to do and you're saying to yourself, oh, well, you know, if I schedule it for 2 weeks from now, that should be enough time for me to get the Eventbrite up and tell people about it. Like, yeah, that seems like enough time. Okay, if you give yourself a month instead, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're just going to have more time to promote it. You might sell more. You might feel less stress. You might actually have time to take your kid to that special field trip, which you wouldn't have been able to do potentially without your workshop suffering if you only gave yourself a couple weeks. So giving yourself more time is literally never a bad thing. I don't know why we insist on closing that down to ourselves and hurrying ourselves along without anticipating that there probably will be delays. There almost always are. And so if we can get into the habit of accounting for those delays and preparing for them and expecting them, we're going to be in a much better position to get things done in a way that does not demotivate us and stresses out. This is not an ad, it's a pause. I've decided to build an intentional break into every episode of Slowpreneur because I know I'm throwing a lot of ideas and hopefully inspiration your way, and I wanted to give you a moment to integrate it, to not have to pay attention, to not have to absorb anymore, to just marinate on what we've talked about so far and take a breath before we continue. Now, let's get back to the show. Number six is to streamline your options. And this is true across almost every area of your business, but it's essentially the idea of narrowing down how many options you're giving yourself in terms of the colors you use in your business, the fonts you use, the systems you use, the things you say yes and no to. Like, literally just narrowing things down is going to help streamline you so much more. I really feel like the way to do a great job, especially as a solopreneur, is to not scatter your energy across too many disparate things. And I know that's hard. I know that it's difficult to get rid of things that you care about. And I know it's easy to feel like if you have more options, that is more opportunities for someone to buy from you. And for certain businesses, for certain people, that could be true. But most of the time, what I think that does is scatter your marketing efforts, scatter your focus, scatter the ways that you can connect with clients because you're always trying to do too many things. Narrowing down your options, whether that's in terms of the offers that you have in your business or literally, as I said, the brand colors you use. Just having a couple rather than always reinventing the wheel, always doing something new is going to help focus your energy and your attention so much better than if you just give yourself the world as your playground. We have all heard that saying that's kind of about thinking outside the box and how it's easier to think outside the box when you're in a box. I don't know if that's the exact way that it's said, but that's how I always think of it. It's easier to think outside the box when you're in a box. When you give yourself some parameters creatively, when you don't give yourself every possible option on planet Earth, but you just give yourself a slight box to play within. I'm going to use brand colors because I think it's a great example. Like the amount of ways that I have tried to figure out how to use my same brand colors over and over and over in different styles, my same fonts too, in different styles, in different configurations, in different ways. I think I've been way more creative than if I had just given myself the entire rainbow of colors to play with and said, okay, Stephanie, go to town, make some beautiful graphics. It helps to have a starting place. It helps to have some parameters around the way that I'm doing things. I genuinely feel more creative as a result of having fewer options. And this is true, I think, in a lot of different things, but particularly I think it can be true in terms of the offers that you have. Is your website confusing for your ideal customer? Are there too many ways to work with you? Are there too many things to buy? If so, just consider streamlining it. You don't have to delete those things, put them in the recycling bin. You could just remove them from your website or remove them from the very first way that someone interacts with you to just make it feel a little bit cleaner, a little bit more streamlined. And this also helps with how you allocate your energy and your attention. If you have dozens of products that you're offering, and you feel like none of them are selling, I don't think the answer is to make more. I think the answer is to hide some of them, reduce them, and really focus your energy and your attention on selling certain products with their, you know, specific variants and seeing if you can make that take off. Because otherwise, every single day, you're changing up how you're marketing, what you're marketing about, especially if your products or your offers are targeted at slightly different people, it means that you're going to kind of be all over the place. And being all over the place is the opposite of how we want to feel as solopreneurs. It's the opposite of what we want to project into the world. And so streamlining your options, giving yourself only a few colors in the crayon box to play with is actually this really counterintuitive way to feel more balanced, more centered, more focused, and more in control of how you're running your business. So highly recommend take some of the options away from yourself, streamline things as much as you can. I think this is a really good slowpreneur thing to do. And last but certainly not least, number seven, the seventh way to be more of a slowpreneur is to trust yourself, to really cultivate your own trust in yourself and your intuition. I think generally speaking, most people know what they want. They know what they want to do. They know how they want to do something. They know what they want to offer, what they can offer. Sometimes we get stuck. That is absolutely true. But I also think that the more you can keep your eyes on your own mat, the more you can be in touch with your ideal client, whether that's in a program or just through your social media marketing and the kinds of responses you get back, keep your eyes, keep your attention focused on what you're doing and what you want to be doing. I think where I always see people getting into trouble is when they are trying to copy someone else's formula, whether that's a business coach, whether that's a fellow entrepreneur who's in the same kind of niche or space as them, and they're seeing what might work for that person without kind of taking into account that that person might have a team, that person might be in a different geographical area, which actually makes a difference, that person could have been in business for 10 years longer than you. We all know comparison is a losing game, but I think it's also really important to realize that comparison is also just kind of often lacking in a lot of information. It's not a good comparison. What you would want to compare yourself to would be somebody who lives in the same place as you, who started at the same time. And even then, I think it's going to be confusing because who you are and what your strengths are never going to be the same as somebody else's, even if their business resembles yours in a lot of other ways. And so my point here is to just really practice cultivating a sense of trust with yourself. What do you think is the next right step? Of course, we can go get guidance. We can have colleagues or coaches or communities that help support us or guide us or reassure us, depending on the path we want to be on. But what I don't want to see you do is just constantly hiring someone new to tell you a new answer. I don't want to see you constantly questioning yourself, constantly reevaluating things without giving them enough time to actually work, right? Like when you put something out there, you actually also have to really put in the effort and the time to try to make it work before you're trying to change it. So trust yourself, trust yourself, trust the process that it takes time, resist that urgency that it's going to happen overnight, and really try to trust yourself and your clients or your customers to kind of tell you, try to be in alignment and in tune with them, what they need, what they want. The more you can do that, and the more you can listen to your gut instincts on things, I think the better of a position your business is going to be in. We don't get as far when we try to copy other people's formulas, because by definition, they are other people's formulas. They are what has worked for somebody else, but there is absolutely no guarantee, and in fact, almost a guarantee that they will not work for us. So I think it's really key to be constantly reminding yourself that you know what's best, you know what you need, you know if you really can't handle working with clients on Mondays, as I gave the example of just earlier on this here podcast episode. I don't know that anyone else would recommend that, you know, but I know that that's true for myself. And so I have to trust myself that that's okay. I have to give myself permission to customize that part of my business and trust that it's going to be okay. And also trust that if it ever becomes a huge problem and I know that a particular client, it's not going to work for them, and that's going to be a huge client that I really need to have more sustainability financially in my business, maybe I will make an exception and I will trust myself to know if and when that needs to happen. But in the meantime, I need to practice cultivating this sense of being in tune with my own wants, needs, desires, and intuitions about what's going to be the right next step for me. Okay, so those are my seven ways to be more of a slowpreneur. Let's go over them again. Number one, beware of defaults. Number two, customize everything. Number three, prioritize humanity. Number four, resist urgency. Number five, expect delays. Number six, streamline options. And number seven, trust yourself. I think if you can do these seven things, and again, they're a practice, they take time, and they're also a moving target. We're never going to be able to hit them 100% of the time. But the more that we can do that, the more of a slowpreneur you're going to be. And the reason we want to be slowpreneurs is because, to me, slowpreneurship is the word that represents having a sustainable business that feels like us, that feels possible to sustain, literally, and feels intentional in the way we move through the world and interact with the people we're supporting. That is the kind of business I want to have. And I think that these seven ways, these seven mindset shifts, are how we get closer to that. So I hope these have been supportive for you. If you think of any examples in any of the categories, I would really love to hear about them, or any ways that you have started implementing these things for yourself in your own business. I am super interested to know more about that. And mostly, I just want to thank you for giving me the space to share these thoughts and ideas, this philosophy that has come to mean so much to me in the way that I run my business and the way that I support clients. So just thank you for being here and for lending an ear to this new way of running a business. I want to thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Thanks so much for listening to Slowpreneur. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend or reach out and let me know at hello@stephaniepellet.com. I would love to hear from you. As always, you can find show notes for this and all episodes at stephaniepellet.com/slowpreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.